Good to see you. We're in the book of Ephesians, and we are on lesson number 2, and we are dealing with the passage Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. And we have already covered Roman numeral 1, that's the description revealing our blessings, Ephesians 1, 1 to 3. And now we're on the doctrine. This is a wonderful passage right here. I love it. We're not going to go fast, I can assure you. That doesn't surprise anyone, I'm sure. But this is the doctrine, realizing our blessings. You know, and that's what doctrine does. Doctrine, people say, oh, you know, doctrine's a bunch of rules and regulations. No, no, no. Doctrine is realizing what God's done. And I mean, the doctrine of salvation, especially in this passage, is just precious. It really is. And again, we're talking about Ephesians. We've given it the theme of blessed with all blessings. So if you're going to be blessed with all blessings, you're going to have to talk about salvation. I've had some wonderful, wonderful times with Brother Chuck Pearson there at hospice and talking about heaven, talking about God's blessings. And, you know, he is just so upbeat, praising the Lord. He is getting weaker, but still very upbeat and just praising the Lord about God's blessings. And, you know, folks, we have got to realize what all he's done. That's what Ephesians does. It helps us to realize the many, many blessings. Who needs lesson 2? Does anybody need lesson 2? I think they got those all passed out, all right. All right. So our verse for this lesson is Ephesians 1 and verse 5. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Ephesians 1, 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1, 5. And again, Ephesians 1, 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1, 5. Father, thank you for the many, many blessings that you give to us. I think even of this morning, the sun shining and a beautiful day. We thank you for all that's been done this week. Just amazing, amazing things. And your people just busy. And so many different things going on. We just rejoice over that. And help us now to just, in the calm of the morning, just learn some things that will help us in our lives as Christians, not only to inform us, as doctrine does, but also to cause us to realize just how good you are to us, and to help us realize what all we have in salvation. So please bless this class and all the classes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to talking about the doctrine, and capital A is our possessions in Christ, what all we have in the Lord. You know, when you first get saved, you don't know any of this. You know very little about this. The one thing that you know, and the one thing I try to make sure that people know, is when they get saved, ye may know that you have eternal life. Now, do you understand all of it? No, I certainly didn't understand at the age of 17 as a newly saved hippie. I didn't understand any of it. I didn't grow up in church, didn't understand. I just knew that somebody showed me in the Bible that if I called upon Jesus to forgive me and save me, that he would. And I believed it, and I called on him, and he did. And now, was there any writing across the sky? There wasn't any writing, but there was writing in a book. And the book said that if I did that, I would be saved. And I thank God for a soul winner that showed me, that made sure that I saw it in black and white, that if I did this, God said I'd be saved. And so we make sure. But then, you know, the exciting thing about being a Christian is growing. It's so sad when people get saved and then they really never get plugged in. They just don't grow. They kind of stay a baby Christian. But one of the precious things to learn is our possession. What do we have? As a Christian, what is it that we received? Again, that most people didn't get saved knowing all that was going to happen when you mean, really, if I get saved, this and this and this. And most of us, we were drowning, right? And we were on our way to hell, and we maybe went down twice, and we were about to go down the third time, and Jesus reached down and pulled us out and saved our soul. Amen. We didn't know. I mean, we didn't realize all. So it's kind of been exciting to me just to kind of to learn all the things that happened when I got saved. And Ephesians is a lot of that. But then to understand our possessions in Christ. And so I want to, again, just let you know, we're going to go, you know, one verse at a time, and it is not a fast study, but it sure is a blessing. It is a blessing to me. So we come to what I call possessions from the Father, chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, and the first thing is his aim. His aim. What is it that the Father is wanting for us? And it says in verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If I were to entitle this with another title, which I always have all these little titles and alliteration and all that, but I would have you underline maybe each of those words, that we should be. This is what he wants us to be, that we should be. And actually, verse 3, in case you don't know this, it's just one of those little facts. It is, verse 3 begins the longest sentence in the Bible. Now, I know there's some colons there and some semicolons there and some commas there, and it may be grammatically in the English, it may not be the, you know, the grammatically, but it is a very, very long sentence there. But it's almost like when God is talking to us about our salvation, God where do you stop? Now, I wish you and I would look at it that way, you know. Where do you stop? When God starts to tell us about his blessings, and again, verse 3 is one of our verses. It's our theme verse for the whole book, talking about the blessings of God. How do you stop? How do you stop? It's almost like God is wanting us to understand that there's just, where do we stop when we start talking about the blessings of God? Where do you stop? Now, I know the devil tries to get us to focus on that one bad thing that happened this week. You know, the devil tries it. You say, one, there were at least three. Yeah, but if there were three bad things, I promise you, there were a whole bunch of wonderful things that happened this week. And so, again, you know, it's like God wants us to realize, I'm going to bless you. I've got some things for you that are going to be good for you, and you're going to like it. And, of course, God designed the plan of salvation. It's all of him. This passage talks about our inheritance in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And if you want to look at it like an inheritance, try to imagine God the Father wrote the will and he included everybody in the family. And so this really talks about, okay, here's all the things I'm leaving you. Here's all the things that you get. And he included everybody and he died so that we might receive everything. You know, and the Bible talks about that. And he rose again as our advocate, that's our lawyer, to make sure it all happens. The transaction takes place. You know, think about that. If the lawyer who wrote the will and wrote the testament and the lawyer that put it all together, and by the way, the one that owns it all, if he wrote it all and he owns it all and he has the right to do it all, then he dies to make it all go into effect, and then he comes back to make sure it all happens. Now, that is exactly the mindset we have to have when we start talking about predestinated. You know, we should never let a Bible word scare us as Christians. Oh, you know, we don't. That's deep, and it's not that deep. We should never let a word like election, you know, elect, the Bible talks about. We shouldn't let those words scare us. God used those words. They're precious words for the Christian. And really, all it is going to happen. That is, if God predestinates it, that means it's going to happen. If he is electing something, it wins. You know, if there's an election and God says, I elect, then that's what's going to happen. And so that's how we have to look at it. And so, you know, I want you to think about these things as we consider verse 4. And again, we're talking about his aim that we should be. Now, the first thing we have to look at is our part, okay? That we should be, well, that we should be indicates we're not, right? We're not. And so our part is the fact that we aren't those things. In other words, when I was born, I wasn't holy. When I was born, I wasn't without blame. See, that we should be holy and without blame. That is what God wants. That is his aim. That is his desire. And therefore, our part is, well, first thing, our part, we're unholy. That's our part. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yeah, you see, we're unholy. What part did you have in salvation? Oh, I'm the sinner. That's the part I have in salvation. Really, that's what it is. I'm the sinner. I'm the unholy one. But he wants me to be holy. That's his desire. That is his goal. My part, though, is I'm unholy. And therefore, if I should be without blame, then I guess I have to be blamed. I guess that's my part. My part is I am not only unholy, but I am also to blame. No, Pastor, no. All the men would say, it was Eve's fault. Right? And all the women would say, well, if Adam was a real man, truth of the matter is, if it had been Doug and Brenda, it would have been the same as it is. If it had been put your name and your spouse, it would have been as it is. You know, we certainly cannot blame Adam and Eve. We can see their fault, and you know, every time I see their fault, I see my own, because it's me. And so we are blamed. We sin. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I don't sin because they sinned. I sin because I'm a sinner. All right? And so we need to understand. So you say, preacher, our part's not too great, is it? No, it's not. Our part, we're unholy. Our part, we are blamed. Our part, well, we are without love for God. Yeah. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the fact of the matter is, we are without love for God. When I was born, I didn't love God. Now try to imagine this. It's kind of a simple illustration. But the man, let's say when you were a child, if the man next door gave you some toys, and you had no idea where the toys came from, he provided those toys and everything else, but you as a child had no idea where the toys came from, do you love that man? Well, no, you don't have a clue. You don't even know where the toy, you don't know where the thing, if somebody gave you $100 today and you had no idea where it came from, you love the $100, but you don't know who it came from, and therefore you wouldn't necessarily love the one who gives it, right? And so, obviously, you know, the illustration is very easy, because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Once I find out what he did, once I realize what he did, once I realize that the gift of God is eternal life, I know where the gift comes from. I know where the gift was paid for. I know how it was paid for. Once I realize that, wow, that's the only way I'm going to love him. That's the only way I'm going to love him. So understand that when we're born, we don't just automatically love God. We aren't holy. We are actually unholy. We are blamed, and we are without love for God. And that's why, thank God, we have his word to show us. You know, it's always wonderful to tell someone. I'm trying to think. The last person I led to the Lord just a couple weeks ago, you know, it never gets old telling people the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it never gets old to say it's a gift. How do you, how do you make a gift yours? And I don't care if it's a child. I don't care if it's a teenager. I don't care if it's an adult. I'm thinking of adult over here on the front porch over here, just a few blocks away. You know, how does that gift become yours? Why just take it, right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to believe enough to reach out and take the gift. And, you know, and all of a sudden he said, you know, he says, we love him because he first loved us. That's today, that's why if you, you know, that's why I keep preaching on salvation. I know many times the crowd in here is all saved. But don't we need to be reminded? We shouldn't, but we need to be reminded, he loved me. He loves me. You know, we say the song Jesus Loves Me is a children's song, but it's not a children's song. Jesus loves the little children. Oh, that's a children. No, it's not. He loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. And so we love him. So initially I was without love. See, my part is failure in all those areas. That's my part. But wait a minute. His aim is that we should be. His aim is that we should be holy. His aim is that we should be without blame. And his aim is that we should love him, that we should have love for him. Wow. So our part, we don't look too hot, right? But of course, we know that because of that, we deserve hell. And there's no argument. But now let's look at God's part. Again, if it is God's will, if it is God's aim, if it is what God wants, God is the one who makes everything happen. Man never could have thought up the plan of salvation. Man couldn't have figured it out. Man couldn't have planned it. Man could not have done it. Man certainly couldn't have provided it because man's a sinner. And so God had to provide it himself. And so we have God's part in this. And so my first word is the word chosen. God's part. This is what God chooses. Okay. Again, what is his aim? His aim is that we be holy. His aim is that we be without blame. His aim is that we love him. That's God's aim. And so God has chosen that there be people like that. All right. Now look, go to Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And you know the verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now notice what they're predestinated for. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All of that because that was his aim. That's his purpose. And but here's what everything kind of go and revolves around. Verse 29, whom he did foreknow. Now, you have to understand something. You know, again, the foreknowledge of God. Here's one of our biggest problems when we deal with a word like that is we don't have that. I don't have foreknowledge. Oh, if I had foreknowledge. Oh, I'd have so much fun. Problem is, if any one of us had foreknowledge, we would probably use it in Las Vegas. Because we're wicked. So that's why we do not have foreknowledge, but God does have foreknowledge. So what does God's foreknowledge? Now, foreknowledge simply means to know ahead of time. Whom he did foreknow. Here's the simple explanation of that in reference to our salvation. God knows ahead of time who, when presented with the gospel, God knows who will be saved and who won't. Well, what about chosen? Wait a minute. No problem with chosen. But God knows who. You cannot dismiss whosoever will. You can't you can't cross that out of the scripture. It is all over the Word of God. Whosoever will. Man's choice. Okay? There are those that would say, well, God looked down and he chose certain people to be saved. Therefore, he chose certain people to be lost. It's not quite like that. It's not quite like that. But here's what he did choose. He chose that anyone who is saved, anyone who comes to Jesus Christ, anyone who is born again, I've got a whole bunch of stuff for them. Now, stuff is not probably in God's vocabulary. I just don't know how to describe it all. I have so much for them, and please stay with me here, it will happen. God is all about it will happen. For example, here in Romans 8, very, very clear, verse 29, whom he did foreknow. In other words, he knew before I was ever born that I would get saved. He knew that. He knew who I was. He knew all about me. But he also knew that I would get saved. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That means he decided that everyone who gets saved is going to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are holy. Therefore, they are unblamed. Therefore, they have the ability to love God. He said this, it will happen. By the way, that's one of the wonderful, wonderful truths in the scripture and doctrines that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt you cannot lose your salvation. Because God predestinated things are going to happen in my life. If I make the right choice. And it is always, it's whom he did foreknow. And he chose for those who are saved to receive all these things. Are you listening? Stay with me now. I know this isn't very practical. This is very, very practical. Because he chose and he elected that I would receive. So all these things we're going to talk about, we'll talk about adoption, we'll talk about all these different, the inheritance and the blessings and all that. God said, here's what these people are going to receive. And these are people that I know they're going to get saved, but they have to make that choice. Now again, if you think about it too hard, you might get a headache. So I would advise you not to really ponder on it. You say, well, I'm saved, and I wonder if God, what if I wouldn't have gotten saved? Then God would, okay, that'll give you a headache, to be honest with you. If you are saved, praise the Lord. He knew that you were going to get saved. He knew how many times I would reject him. But the point is, he didn't make me get saved where my best friend, he made him stay lost. That is not God. Everybody, Jesus died for every person. Every person can get saved. But foreknowledge, predestination, all those, predestination, election, chosen, it is all based on, I know who will and who won't get saved. God makes it very clear. He knows who will, he knows who won't. If you're saved today, you are chosen. If you're saved today, you have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That means nothing's going to stop it. It will happen. If you're saved today, you will receive an inheritance. It will happen. Nothing's going to stop that. Oh, yeah, but what if I know somebody that got saved and they're living a wicked? That is not my business. I know some kids that had parents die and they received an inheritance from them and they're not living a good life either. But they still got the inheritance. Are y'all listening? Okay, it's not based on us. It's based on what he has done. Just like our salvation is not based, thank God, It's not based on us. But understand, on the other side of that, God is no respecter of persons. All he is saying is, I have chosen those who have been saved to receive these things. When you see election, when you see chosen, when you see predestinated, God is simply saying, everyone who is saved, I have decided, this is what they will receive. The fact that God knew it before the foundation of the world, that's God's business. I can't get into that realm because I don't have foreknowledge. But the fact that he knew it before the foundation of the world, that is all he's telling us. And therefore, before this world was ever created, it was determined. Now stay with me here. It was determined by God that I, as his child, would not only be his child by birth, because I've chosen that, but I would also be his child by adoption, and I would also, as his child, receive everything that he has for me, because that was God's choosing for his children. Are y'all with me here on this? It's not that hard, but boy, I tell you, people can get it really, really messed up. But it doesn't have to be. And so again, chosen. When it says here in Ephesians, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, it's simply saying he has chosen those who chose salvation. Okay? All right? It is no deeper than that. And so now, again, what's his aim? That we be holy, that we be without blame, and that we have the ability to love him. And that's what he's after, all right? And he said, all those that are saved, I've chosen that for them. And all these other things we're going to talk about in the next while. Anyway. And you'll notice it says, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's holy. Are you with me? There's holy. Okay? In Christ. Now again, what about somebody who didn't get saved? What if God chose him? No, God didn't choose him because he didn't receive Christ as Savior. God knew he couldn't choose somebody who would reject Christ in God's foreknowledge. He knew that. He knew that person could never be holy. He knew that person would always be to blame because he'd have to pay for his own sin. So God knew that the only ones he could choose are those who got saved. And God knew it before you were ever born. That's the key to the whole thing. So in Christ now, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, which I just quoted, I'm now holy. Only in Christ. I'm not holy in me. I'm holy in Jesus Christ. Well, what about blameless? Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And now I have to hurry. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and come, that'll be fine. We'll get a little money. Oh, we need money. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless. See it? That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see it? Blameless. What's blameless mean? Well, it means without blame. How am I without blame? In Christ. That's the only way. God said, this is how it's going to be. Anyone who calls upon my Son, Jesus Christ, to save their soul, they will be holy, they will be blameless. Do you understand? Do you know how much the devil is constantly pointing you out? All the time. You know why he's pointing us out all the time? He has a reason to point. Because pretty much we did it. Well, look at that Christian griping. Look at that Christian complaining about the humidity. Look at that, you know. And you know what? The advocate Jesus, our defense attorney, he stands up and says, look at my hands. They were pierced. Look at my feet. Nails were driven in. Amen? Right. Amen. Can't be blamed. You know, somebody might even get excited. Right. And holy, blameless, in love. Now we love him, but only because he first loved us. We serve out of love. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? This do in remembrance of me. You know what it ought to do tonight when we have the Lord's Supper? It ought to just thrill your gizzard. Because we're talking about the body of Christ that was beaten, bloodied, ripped to shreds for us. We're talking about his blood that was poured out for us. Amen. And what should that do? It ought to make us love him more and 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 more. And so God chose us in Christ. Now, predestination, chosen, elected, all of that is in Christ. Here's what, and whenever God is talking about that, he's saying, here is what I have decided, and it will happen for those who are in Christ. It's just as if we were Christ. That's a great definition of justification. Some have said, just as if I never sinned. I don't mind that, but it's even deeper. That's just as if I were Christ. We're in Christ. And so he said, this is what is going to happen to those who are in Christ. And the amazing thing, and I'll end with this. The amazing thing is, this was all determined before the foundation of the world. It was all determined. God knew man would sin. That's why the Bible talks about Jesus slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he was slain. It was done. You say, well, how did God know? Because God makes it happen. I told you, I've been talking about this a lot lately. The fact that prophecy, God doesn't predict anything. God doesn't have to predict things. God just says, here's what's going to happen, and he makes it happen, period. He doesn't have to predict. It just happens. God knew man would sin. God knew he would provide a plan for man to be saved, and then he provided the plan. Look at Revelation 13, verse 8. We just studied it. Well, we just, not Revelation 13. We studied that a couple years ago. Amen. Revelation 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see that? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In God's mind and in God's heart, God knew that he would provide the plan for mankind. He knew it. You know, before an artist paints a picture, it's in his heart. Before a musician writes music, it's in their heart. Before a sculptor molds the clay, it's in their heart. Before an architect draws a plan, it's in their heart. You could name so many things. God's plans are always perfect, and they're always carried out. and he provided the plan for mankind. And that's that before the foundation, before the first mountain, before the first ocean, God had a plan for mankind. And if man follows the plan, then it's done. Somebody, how do you know? Because God did it already. It is just as sure as anything God has ever done. The fact that I have a mansion in heaven. It's done. It's not in the heart of God. By the way, if it's in the heart of God, it's already done. Are you all with me? Amen. I ought to see more. Just because it's so good. So never again will you have to let verse 4 scare you. Amen. Never again will you have to let predestination, election, chosen, those words scare you. Because everything is based upon the plan that God provided. And you know what? If we follow the plan, God carries out all the rest. Well, how do you know that you're going to be happy in heaven? because that's the plan. How do you know you're even going to go? What if the devil wins? The devil can't win. Amen. It's not possible. It can't happen. I love it. Let's pray. Father,